Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The action is at the plate. Tyler O'Neill, the 2-2. Swing and a miss. Cubs win. Cubs win. Adbert Alzolay saves it for the second day in a row. The Cubs come back multiple times in this game, and on the strength of Cody Bellinger's four RBIs, they beat the Cardinals for a second straight day. This one a final 8-6.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The vibes were strong that day, they were. As we do welcome you back into the Sunday morning show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, I am Mark Rohde. I am here with you for another hour. I get to be here with you until noon today on The Score. And this time, eventually, soon, shortly, will be occupied by a little show called Hit and Run, the venerable baseball show Hit and Run, which has been hosted by, in solo form, in wonderful form, for some years now. His name is Matt Spiegel. Spiegs just happens to be the voice you just heard of that Cubs game. That was July 22nd. It happened to be a Cubs 8-6 win over the St. Louis Cardinals. Matt Spiegel just happened to have been doing play-by-play that weekend because Pat Hughes was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. All of that said, to welcome in Mr. Matt Spiegel as he joins us from... Actually, I don't even know where you are right now. You're probably not in Mesa right now. State your coordinates, Spiegs.
I am indeed still in Mesa.
In the hotel room,
Mesa. The great Ron Coomer will be swinging by to pick me up and drive us to Surprise, Arizona. Surprise!
Yes.
Where the Cubs and the Rangers will play this afternoon. Mark Grody, it's lovely to talk to you. Yes, Hit and Run comes back next week. So next week. I will be sitting where you are. Yes, sir.
Oh, that is wonderful. And I probably should have pointed out the fact that I said all of that and didn't even mention that Matt Spiegel will be doing the play-by-play today of that game in Surprise, Arizona, Cubs and the Rangers, which you can hear starting at 2:55 today. How you feeling, Spiegs? You feeling good? You ready, kid? You ready?
Oh, man. I'm feeling pretty darn good. Some evening activities the last two nights.
good.
Still getting it all going, but that's part of the Arizona experience, isn't it, Groats? Like when you come out here, you're so inundated with baseball and just talking baseball. The amount of stories and insight and like things I've learned and conversations I've had the past 2 days, just kind of soaking it all in, is just enormous. And you know, I think it's the greatest thing about working in the game, as you have, all of it is background. All of it is stuff that might come up during the course of a ball game because there's time to talk about stuff. So you never know what's going to come up in terms of the stories you've learned and the things you heard. You know, there's some stuff you're not supposed to say, of course.
Yeah.
But also just like, you know, just everything, just hanging around the complex the last 2 days and going to the backfields and watching all the minor leaguers play and walking around and, you know, watching BP and talking to the manager every day and talking to Justin Steele yesterday after he gets named the opening day starter. And, you know, it's just a million things. And watching games the last 2 days, taking notes, getting ready. It's been a great immersion experience to be here, parachuting in for a weekend.
Yeah, the immersion is essential, man. I mean, you nailed it. Like, you kind of, it sounds funny to people, but you kind of have to do that. Like, I learned that from covering the combine. Even if I don't want to go out all night, I have to, because that's where the information is. So,
it's true. And it's like, and everybody's ready to talk baseball. Everybody everywhere is ready to talk. And it just takes one little thing. Hey, so Canario have a chance to make this team? Alexander Canario, boy, he was in left field yesterday, but the day before he was in right field, and Say was in left. What does that mean? Let's talk about that, shall we? How was that message gotten across? Like, all of that stuff is just, it's all bursting at the surface, and I ask a lot of questions and try to learn as much as I can.
Well, let me start to pick your brain a little bit here, and I'm just going to start with since you mentioned outfield, and I know you weren't trying to direct me towards Canario, but I will go PCA on you. What did you think about the decision to, like, hey, let's get Pete Crow Armstrong in the minors essentially from the beginning of this season?
I think that was fait accompli once Bellinger signed, so it didn't shock me. And I think it might have been in doubt even if he didn't sign. I don't know. Pete's still raw, man. Pete needs more at bats. And I mean, everything else is great. You love the defense. You love the aggressive base running, but he needs more at bats, and he needs confidence. So all that said, this is a year where you're trying to win. So, if Mike Tauchman had broken camp last year with the Cubs, I think they win the division. Mm. Remember, they go a month with people like Miles Mastroboni and Trey Mancini in right field filling in for Seiya. That could have been Tauchman, as a great defender who gave you good at-bats. Tauchman is an important guy in terms of this year it'll be right. He'll be the fourth outfielder and a pinch runner and a pinch hitter and a defensive replacement all over the outfield as needed, assuming Ian Happ is healthy enough to start the year. So, look, Canario is the one I'm real interested in. Mm. Because he's got a shot to make this team. They need one more righty power bat. And I think they're going to end up deciding between Alexander Canario and Garrett Cooper, the first baseman, who's kind of in a battle with Dominic Smith to be sort of the veteran first base. And Smith is a lefty, so maybe he wins that. I think it is significant that Seiya played a game in left field while Canario played a game in right field, because Canario has not played much left, and if both of those guys are going to be in lineup at the same time, I could see at some point Craig Counsell saying to Suzuki, would you mind playing left? Because Canario is a better right fielder than Seiya Suzuki.
He's got some prolific minor league home run numbers too, right, Spiegs? I mean, this guy's got real power. I don't know if it translates exactly at the MLB level, but he could hit it out.
Yeah, he definitely can. He definitely can. It's funny. The number one tool in the toolbox for hitters, according to Craig Counsell, and this will be part of a little follow-up, like a two-minute thing that I recorded with him yesterday that'll play on Parkins and Spiegel either tomorrow or on Tuesday when I'm back. Hitting the ball over the fence. Craig Counsell, big fan of guys who can hit the ball over the fence. That came up in conversation. There were other things. But that's a big one. That's a big one for Craig.
Yeah.
And this team needs it. So yeah, I think that's, and Cooper can do it too. Cooper's got power as well. I think either of those guys, if they played a full season, could be 20 home run guys. They're not going to play a full season, either of them. Both options to make this team for sure.
Yeah. Well, you said, and I agree with you on Mike Tauchman. Like, I love, like, Cody Bellinger puts everything in perspective on the team. PCA, like you said, and Mike Tauchman is just a guy that, you don't want him to be your primary starter, but he's such a good baseball player, such a sound veteran guy that you just feel totally comfortable having on your team. You wouldn't mind, like, if somebody is injured, Tauchman can play start every day for a month. Like, you have that kind of trust with him. But you said that you spoke to Justin Steele, and I'm just curious as if you learned anything from Justin Steele, and what do you think his season is going to look? I mean, he's got a lot to follow up from last year, including getting his act back together based on kind of a fade towards the end of the season, Speaks.
Well, after he threw in the bullpen yesterday and then talked to the media about being named the opening day starter, it was just really cool to hear the perspective. Like, long time to get to the major leagues for that guy, a position player and a pitcher in high school who only agreed to come to the Cubs to be a pitcher. There was a point where he might have gone to college to be a player, but decided to focus on the pitching. Took a long time, and here he is. So, like, that whole perspective, which Council made sure to point out to him when he talked about it with him, was really cool. In terms of his year, I'm high on Justin Steele following it up. I think he is a number one, okay. And here's why. You know, it's fastball and it's slider. But the fastball is, I think a lot of people know, is they call that cut ride fastball. He can have it cut or he can have it ride. It does both. So that's more than just one pitch. His slider, sometimes he'll take something off it and turn it into a curveball. Sometimes he'll add a little more juice to it and throw it a little harder. He's got a lot of control. He can manipulate his stuff with a lot of options there. So that means it's a bigger arsenal. So then it becomes a thing of like, all right, he's got to adjust and read the hitters. And Yan Gomes is really good at that. And we'll see how much he throws to Amaya. But, you know, I'm confident that Steele has the ability to follow it up.
Yeah, I agree. And look, I'm not betting against that guy anymore because I did not expect by any means for him to do any of the things that he did last year. We are talking to Matt Spiegel of the Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on The Score. Spiegs will debut in 2024 Hit and Run next Sunday from 9 to noon. Right now, he is in Mesa, Arizona, and he will make his way to Surprise, Arizona a little bit later on to do play-by-play for Cubs and Rangers, a game you could hear at 2:55 right here on 670 The Score. And Spiegs, in the play-by-play that we played coming into this game, it was Adbert Alzolay that was on the mound to finish it up. Do you believe that Adbert Alzolay will hold on to that closer's role with Hector Neris hanging around in what I think is actually a pretty decent bullpen for the Cubs this year heading into the season, which I haven't said the last few years?
Yeah, right. I think Adbert will hold on to it, at least at the top. He will have that job at the beginning, and we'll see how Neris looks. That's my gut feeling. I don't know for sure. By the way, that highlight you played, I feel like it's my duty to point out, Mark.
Yes.
That weekend, the Cubs swept the St. Louis Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first three of an 8-game win streak that culminated with Mike Tauchman's game-ending catch in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's that same win streak. And that win streak is what made Jed Hoyer decide to pivot and hold on to Cody Bellinger and go for it. Now, this story ages poorly because they had a horrible September fade and then fired the manager, right? Mm. So this story, it does not age well. But this might be my last moment to celebrate my role in the Cubs turnaround last year when Elise Menneker and Mike Esposito and I went 3-0.
Oh, that was beautiful. And it does bring up the bigger point of that season, because I think I was asking out loud about last year. Like, was last year a win or a loss? Because they still did things that nobody thought they were going to do in terms of winning last year, but they did choke. They did choke at the end of last season. So, but I think on the overall, I don't know, Spiegs, I don't want to answer for you. It does feel like the lane of encouragement ultimately won over for this team.
Oh yeah, no, I think that's right. I think overall we should look back on it and say a few things. The future, like a run of contention, seemed plausible, and now they're going for it more with some of the signings, and obviously the big money move of going to get the manager and have that mm-hmm. change things. So it is definitely encouraging overall. I think as awkward as the Ross Council thing was, it is a tremendous thing for the organization to now have Craig here.
Okay.
And I'm seeing a lot of things, a lot of things in camp that I'm like, wow, this is, it's a bigger hire than I even realized. With
interesting.
Council.
Anything you could share, anything specific that you could share, or is that stuff that you want to share on the Parkins and Spiegel Show with the interview?
No, I'm happy to answer. I think it's a retro hire in some ways, because he's going to define a lot of the teaching, a lot of the drills. Like, he's got his glove on and he's teaching infield. you know? And he's like, you know, prospects who are coming through and then will go back to the minor leagues after this experience. Craig's going back to the minor league fields, talking to all of them, running drills with them. And then coaches who are here, obviously, are going to follow Craig's lead on some stuff, and development plans for the year are going to be made with Craig Counsell very, very involved. And that is a heavier role for a manager than we've had in a while in baseball. What, about 15, 20 years ago, it started being manager as kind of a partner or in some ways a pawn of the front office, with the front office making the development plans and stuff like that. This reminds me, for older baseball fans, of like Tom Kelly running things in Minnesota. Terry Ryan was the GM there, but Tom Kelly was the guy who set the template for the entire organization. Or go back further, and Earl Weaver was the guy who set the development template for the entire Orioles organization. That kind of thing. Manager as kingpin of a lot of things within the organization. I think Jed Hoyer is ceding some of that to Craig Counsell. It's pretty interesting.
Make sure you bring up that Tom Kelly stuff to Coombe. I love that.
Right? I will. I definitely will.
Yeah, that's Coombe's guy.
That's his guy. Yeah, no, it's already come up off the air, Chris.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess I probably should not have thought that you hadn't brought that up already.
But on the air will make for good, it'll make for good radio during a ballgame.
And what I'd like you to do, Spiegel, is do the old, hey, you know, Coombe, I was talking to Mark Grody today on the Score.
Done.
Mark Grody. Okay, good,
done.
Good.
You got it.
Okay, I love it. I love that.
Do you have an inning request? Do you have an inning request?
Let's see, 255 right now. I would say early, because I feel like that's an early topic too. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a good, or maybe it's not, because it's bigger picture. So
I just got the list of all the players who are going to be in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I know a lot of them. A lot of them, okay?
Okay.
But there's some at the bottom. There's some at the bottom of that list, Groth.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let me figure out exactly who this person is.
Oh, man.
Are they? What position does Casey Opitz play? Let's see. Let's find out.
And does he have a Google page or not?
Oh, you bet he does.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Let's you know, so when I'm learning about Casey Opitz and Fabian Pertuz.
Ooh, Pertuz!
Fabian. Dude's name is Fabian.
Oh, so nice.
I got to think of a Fabian song to work in during one of his at-bats.
Okay. I love
this. It'll be for the 90-year-olds in the audience. So let me go late on that, okay? Because on... We got Canario and Morel playing third base. I want to talk about that with Coombe today.
Oh yeah, man. For sure.
We've got Michael Busch playing first base. Let's check out that guy closely. Chase Strumpf is at second base. So like
Strumpfy.
It's like I'm getting very Strumpfable.
You know you wouldn't get away with that on the Parkinson Spiegel show, but you're getting away with it here. It's okay, Spiegel. We're Sunday morning, babe. This is a hit and run vibe I'm trying to evolve into. Yeah.
That's why I love it. That's why Sunday mornings are the best, you know? Who's going to stop us?
Who's going to stop us? You're probably answering my question right now, because I was going to ask you at some point in time.
Well, hold on, Groats.
Yes,
Seventh inning.
Okay.
Seventh inning. I will talk about Counsell as the big picture kingpin, and I will say that it was spurred on by my conversation with the great Mark Grody.
Exactly. Okay, perfect. I will be listening for that. I absolutely cannot wait. I think you've answered my question, though. The question I was going to ask you was, how much more comfortable are you right now in spring training than when you first did this in spring training? Because you sound ridiculously comfortable and just looking forward to it right now.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Well, you know, once I'm on the air, we'll see. And hopefully that'll be comfortable. I think it will be. But in terms of like navigating spring training and navigating the world here, yeah, it's easily the most comfortable I've ever been. Easily. You can't fake the time to, like, you know, have people know you, have people, and to be comfortable, You know, it's like, am I allowed to walk over there?
Oh, totally. Okay, geography place, means right? something, right? Just knowing where to be and who you can talk to and not talk to. When you know that in that second year, it means everything.
Yes, 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 exactly right. And what's interesting is that I was here the year that this place opened, 2014. And I knew Theo Epstein a little bit from some of the Hot Stove Cool Music things. So he gave me a tour of this complex. You know, I'll tweet out the article. I wrote about it at the time, and I actually looked back on it because some things, like, it's fascinating. The weight room here, I remember Theo was saying it then. He designed the weight room so that all the minor leaguers, when they come in from their workouts and then they go, because a lot of guys lift after they play. Uh-huh. So when the minor leaguers come to the weight room from their side, it's a big weight room, and the major leaguers are coming to the weight room from their side. So they come together in the weight room. That is 100% by design. So they can hang out after they play, get to know each other, and the minor leaguers can watch the major leaguers and think, oh, I want to get there. You know,
that's awesome.
Stuff like that I learned then in 2014, I find myself thinking about now a decade later. The complex is beautiful. It was beautiful then. It's still beautiful. It's crazy functional for what they want to do. It was a really, really good. And all of that came before the Wrigley renovations. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That was the first thing they did. It's the first thing that Theo convinced Tom Ricketts to do. And it's paid dividends and continues to do so.
Yep, still catapulting from there, man. Well, I hope you enjoy your day. I know that you are in your element like nobody I've ever known. You get that feeling, right, Speaks? You got that baseball feeling right now, that little tickle where, you know, we're getting closer to the actual stuff starting.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. It's there's very, very few places I would rather be working. That's for sure. But you know, that said, you wouldn't believe how much football conversation there has been with certain people.
Oh, good. That's fantastic, man.
That's a tease. That's a tease for Parkins and Spiegel on Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. Okay. Will you reference this conversation then as well, like you're going to do in the seventh inning? I just want to get all my reference points down here.
3:40 on Tuesday. 3:40 on Tuesday. No, I don't know, Gross. Yeah, of course I will. Of course I will.
Oh, man. I appreciate you. Yeah. Speaks, have a great call, man. We'll be listening to you starting at 2:55 with Coombe.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate
you. Yeah, you got it. Bye. That is Matt Spiegel. Speaks of the Parkins and Spiegel Show. He and Ron Coomer starting at 2:55 today, Chicago time. They will bring you the game right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, and definitely be listening for a apparently deeper conversation, which will reference me in the seventh inning. So let's see if Spiegel is good for his word. 312-644-6767 is the number. Good time to call. We haven't really had a time to get a consistent flow of calls going. So if you want to talk about the Bears, and we were discussing wide receiver a little bit earlier, and my idea to go after Terry McLaurin of the Washington Commanders, and I would even consider giving up the number 9 overall pick to get that guy to pair with DJ Moore. I also have the Bears trading down with the number 9 overall pick right now in a mock draft I did, and eventually at 13 getting tight end Brock Bowers. Am I crazy? 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody till noon here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there'll be some first base for Chris, but I think, you know, I'd like to see him on third base, I think, to start camp. And look, you know, it's, you know, Christopher's done so much with the bat that it's our job to figure out the best way to deploy him.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Craig Counsell holding strong still with Chris Morrell working out at third base. He's going to play third base today when the Cubs play at 255 on the score. Michael Bush over at first. I want to talk about those guys here in just a second. But first, I'm just noticing something. Tyler Farengol, who is our producer here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score today. There was a call up on my computer from earlier that we just didn't have time to get to it. We took the break, and you know, sometimes people will drop off, and I understand that. But what I'm just looking at now is what he wanted to talk about. And he wanted to talk about you tell me if I got this right, Tyler, that he wanted to keep Tyson Bagent as the starting quarterback. Pick Joe Alt, number one, Olufashinu at number nine, that's Penn State O-lineman, and keep building in free agency. I got that right, Tyler?
You got that 100% correct.
Okay, next time, because listen, next time that happens, Tyler, just shout it in my ear. Just like, that's an emergency. All right. You got to be like, Grody, Marty in my ear, Marty from Springfield. He wants to keep Bagent at starting quarterback and make those other picks. So don't be afraid to stop the show. Okay.
All right.
That's you got to have that emergency breaking news when that comes on.
Let me ask you this. How would you feel about Tyson Bagent being Caleb Williams's backup for the next couple of years?
You mean like as in, but he wouldn't be starting?
No, not as a starter, but just how do you think that dynamic would be between Bagent and Caleb Williams?
Oh, I mean, any form of Caleb Williams not starting that's going to be quite the dynamic, even if it's some veteran guy, if they decide to go that route at first. My best guess, and I know why you're asking, but my best guess is that Caleb Williams would probably start from the beginning. I wouldn't hate the idea of them giving him some growing time. Like, it probably would be ideal. I just don't know if with a prospect like this, if something like that would be realistic. But it's definitely interesting to discuss. But no, Tyson Bagent will not be the Bears' starting quarterback next year. That's not going to happen. And I don't even know. Maybe that caller wasn't even serious. To the Cubs, as for the Chicago Cubs, 255 on the score today. It is true that once the Cody Bellinger signing was made, 3 years, $80 million, opt out. You've got him set. That puts everything, your outfield is locked in with Seiya Suzuki and Ian Happ. Very comfortable, obviously, with Dansby Swanson and Nico Horner, players on the rise. We all got comfy with Yan Gomes last year. It is those corner infielders that you kind of look at with a little bit of skepticism, because it's simple with Morrell. That bat is terrific. Nobody has a more live bat on the Cubs roster than Christopher Morrell, and that is why Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer are trying to force him to play third base, or try to force him into, or make him into, a serviceable third baseman. That's why, because his bat can be ridiculous. Strikes out too much, I understand. There's work that can be done, but nobody hits. Well, he and Patrick Wisdom hit the best home runs, I would say, on the Cubs. But that talent, that the hitting tool, is special for Morrell. You know, could be special. So I understand what they are doing. I've seen a lot, and I know he's kind of struggled in this spring training as well. So that's just a big area of concern right there with Morrell. I mean, I said it earlier when Counsell's said he was going to, that this would be the guy at third base. I said, there's no way Christopher Morrell is your starting third baseman to open the season. I'm open to it. I think what I'm starting to think that we are going to see is that he will start at third base and see how he does in the beginning of the season. And if it's a train wreck or if it's not adequate, then they'll pull him and they'll pivot. But this is what they want to do. You know, unless it's just a whole let's just go crazy with him while we have the time to work with him in spring training. But I believe Christopher Morel will be the starting third baseman for the Chicago Cubs on opening day. And then you have, hey, Michael Busch. There he is. He is probably going to be your first baseman. And, you know, 26-year-old lefty power, just 72 at-bats in the bigs, two home runs and seven RBIs in the minors. One of the areas of concern is that the strikeouts to 27 strikeouts to eight walks last year as well for Michael Busch. So I don't know. I mean, he may turn out to be really good over at first base, but you got to look at that. You got to look at those two positions early on in the season and say, just keep an eye on those. Just keep a close eye on what's going on at first and third. And the good news is that, you know, if this collaboration that's going on right now with Craig Counsell and Jed Hoyer, at least that's the way it's being put, like that those two are just in lockstep. Well, maybe not in lockstep, but there is power for both positions. Both appear to be on the same page analytically. And I'm sure they probably have different ideas in terms of lineup construction and how exactly to build a team. But those guys are working closely together. And I, sounds naive early on, I trust those guys to know when it's the right time to pull the plug, if it becomes that. And I think that some of that trust was earned last year with Jed Hoyer and surrounding Matt Mervis. Remember, Matt Mervis was the next big thing, and the build-up to Mervis coming to the big leagues. I thought Hoyer waited long enough, showed some discipline, brought him up, and it did not work out. And they have not been trying to force-feed the big league team with Matt Mervis this year in terms of, like, he's definitely going to – he is in their plans. He is on their minds, but they're not force-feeding it and not assuming. And that's the PCA part, too, the Pete Crow Armstrong. We all want PCA to be good, but guess what? When he came up, he was not ready. It didn't seem like he was even close to being ready. Craig Counsell has been able to take that in and see what he's done in this spring training. And I know it sucks losing balls in the sun, but he lost two in a row at one point in time. And if PCA's defense isn't sound and his, you know, the bat clearly had not caught up, then that's a problem. So I like the decisive moves that they have made so far, and I thought it was pretty smart to keep PCA cooking in the minor leagues as opposed to leaving up here and having. So that was a good early decision that they made. Spring training action for the Cubs continues today against the Rangers. Coverage begins at 2:55 right here on 670 The Score with Matt Spiegel and Ron Coomer on the call. For the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to Chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Each topic we cover is broken out so that you could find out what matters most to you. To get started, download the Odyssey app, then search for 670 The Score and tap on a recent episode of our show. I started to get into it with Spiegs and didn't ultimately have a chance to express it, but it's been a while since I've gone into a Cubs season and looked at the bullpen and said, yeah, that looks like a bullpen that's interested in starting to do some serious winning. Yeah, it's not perfect, but you have Adbert Alzolay, who was very effective as a closer last year, and he will be the closer coming out of spring training. But then you have Hector Neris, who is capable of closing games too. So that's a guy that you could easily use in the late innings, or if Alzolay falters, or if they do put Alzolay in an early big-time spot, who knows what Craig Counsell will do, then maybe Hector Neris is saved for later. Then you have Julian Merriweather, who is just a horse, so I like that guy. They brought in this. They signed Yency Almonte. You still have Mark Leiter, who had some big, big, big moments last year and then kind of fizzled. Drew Smyly. Hey, Drew Smyly. Still hanging around. You've been hanging around in that bullpen. That's where Drew Smyly is these days. So Smiley's still here. But that's a nice pen. That's a nice pen right there for the Cubs. And, hey, you get something close to what you got out of Justin Steele as a starter last year. I have no idea if Shota Imanaga's game translates to the to the bigs. I think it will, because he's probably going to be slotted in second or third with Kyle Hendricks. Jamison Tyon, we'll see if he could put together two good halves together as a starter. And then you got Javier Assad and our guy Jordan Wixie, who I got to interview not that long ago when I filled in for Lawrence Holmes on the Bernstein and Holmes show. I got to talk to Jordan Wicks, who had that great debut, the Tommy Hotovy, the great talk that Tommy Hotovy gave to Wicks, and then Wixie was, you know, he was good to go. That's all you needed was a little Hotovy, and then you take care of Wixie, and you get a Brad Wick and a Jordan Wicks. They're all here. All the bricks, and a Rowan Wick. Don't forget about a Rowan Wick. All right. I do need to take a break right now. 312-644-6767 is the number. We will take that break, come back, and we will wrap up the Sunday morning show, where it is 11:45 on the Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
670 The Score is giving you and a guest an exclusive opportunity to be in Texas for the Cubs season opener. Be listening for the cue to call on Mullion Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, and Parkins and Spiegel every day this week for your chance to qualify for the Cubs season opener Fly Away, which includes airfare, hotel, and two tickets to the game on March 28th. Once you qualify, you'll need to be listening to Parkins and Spiegel when they announce the winner this Friday at 5 p.m. The winner will then have 30 minutes to call and claim the grand prize. It's the Cubs season opener Fly Away exclusively right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody, here for a few more minutes with you on The Score, just enough time to grab another phone call or two, and we will start that direction with Paulie in Palm Beach, Florida. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, good morning. Great show. I always
you. Thank you.
So I've called in a couple times, probably. One time was the day after they drafted Justin Fields, and I said that he was not a quarterback. Now, I hear that this Zach Jones got a sixth-round pick for him.
Yeah, Mac Jones. Actually a good reminder for people. This story broke on our watch. I was talking to Josh Schrock today. I think it was at 10 o'clock when the story broke that the Patriots trading quarterback Mac Jones to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a late-round pick.
If you're going to get a fourth or fifth rounder for him, why not make him the next Deebo Samuel? If he can touch the ball 8 times, 10 times out in the flat by himself, one-on-one, nobody could tackle him. He's one of the 10 best athletes in the league. You just can't pass.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'd be really good. He'd probably be really good at that, but his value is still as a quarterback, and there's no way in hell that Justin Fields. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe he gets traded to a team to be a backup quarterback. I don't know. But I'm just saying, to answer your question, but I understand what you're saying. He's a great athlete, so he could just go play any position. I understand.
He runs
it's but it's very rare. Very rare when that actually
the
works.
Guy's
and
a
I know.
Rare athlete. He's a rare athlete.
There's no doubt, which is why that should be, which is why that should be applied towards being a quarterback. So I appreciate the call. Yeah, I appreciate the call. Yeah, even a backup, because even if you're Justin Fields and you have it in your head that you are a quarterback, you never, even if it's a bat, ask Chase Daniel. I mean, in terms of money, you're still going to win. And Justin Fields is never not going to have at least a backup job. I still think that there is value with him as a starter. The NFL may be saying otherwise, but yeah, Mac Jones traded to the Jaguars, late round pick. That does not help Justin Fields' cause in terms of what you might expect. And different players, the math needs to be done still, but no, that's not a great sign. Just a couple more details on that. There were four teams in the mix for Mac Jones, so there might be more teams in the mix for Justin Fields that we don't know about, and it could be in the name of being a backup. There's probably lots of teams that would step to the plate for that at least. So we'll see, man. It's getting dramatic with the legal tampering period opening tomorrow. Actual signings can happen a day after that. So Very interesting today. Thank you all for listening today. This has been a fun 3 hours here on The Score. And big thank yous to our guests today. We had Mark Potash at 9:20. If you want to go back and check out our conversations on the Odyssey app, 10 o'clock, talk Bears as well with Josh Schrock. Great conversation with Spiegel from Mesa, Arizona, talking Cubs, which he will provide play-by-play for at 2:55 today. That was at 11 o'clock. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to Tyler Farengol for doing a great job of producing this here show. And thank you to all for listening. I appreciate you. I will talk to you tomorrow right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
670 The Score is giving you and a guest an exclusive opportunity to be in Texas for the Cubs season opener. Be listening for the cue to call on Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, and Parkins and Spiegel every day this week for your chance to qualify for the Cubs season opener Fly Away, which includes airfare, hotel, and two tickets to the game on March 28th. Once you qualify, you'll need to be listening to Parkins and Spiegel when they announce the winner this Friday at 5 p.m. The winner will then have 30 minutes to call and claim the grand prize. It's the Cubs season opener Fly Away exclusively right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Mark Grody here for a few more minutes with you on The Score, just enough time to grab another phone call or two, and we will start that direction with Paulie in Palm Beach, Florida. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, good morning. Great show. I always
Thank you.
So I've called in a couple times. Probably one time was the day after they drafted Justin Fields, and I said that he was not a quarterback. Now, I hear that this Zach Jones got a sixth-round pick for him.
Yeah, Mac Jones. Actually a good reminder for people. This story broke on our watch. I was talking to Josh Schrock today. I think it was at 10 o'clock when the story broke that the Patriots trading quarterback Mac Jones to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a late-round pick.
That's going to put Fields?
I
have a fourth or fifth rounder for him.
Uh-huh.
Why not make him the next Debo Samuel? If he can touch the ball 8 times, 10 times out in the flat by himself, one-on-one, nobody could tackle him. He's one of the 10 best athletes in the league. You just can't pass.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'd be really good. He'd probably be really good at that, but his value is still as a quarterback, and there's no way in hell that Justin Fields. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Maybe he gets traded to a team to be a backup quarterback. I don't know. But I'm just saying, to answer your question, but I understand what you're saying. He's a great athlete, so he could just go play any position. I understand.
He runs
it's open. But it's very rare. Very rare when that actually
the
works.
Guy's
and
a
I know.
Rare athlete. He's a rare athlete.
There's no doubt, which is why that should be, which is why that should be applied towards being a quarterback. So I appreciate the call. Yeah, I appreciate the call. Yeah, even a backup, because even if you're Justin Fields and you have it in your head that you are a quarterback, you never, even if it's a bat, ask Chase Daniel. I mean, in terms of money, you're still going to win. And Justin Fields is never not going to have at least a backup job. I still think that there is value with him as a starter. The NFL may be saying otherwise, but yeah, Mac Jones traded to the Jaguars, late round pick. That does not help Justin Fields' cause in terms of what you might expect. And different players, the math needs to be done still, but no, that's not a great sign. Just a couple more details on that. There were 4 teams in the mix for Mac Jones, so there might be more teams in the mix for Justin Fields that we don't know about, and it could be in the name of being a backup. There's probably lots of teams that would step to the plate for that at least. So we'll see, man. It's getting dramatic with the legal tampering period opening tomorrow. Actual signings can happen a day after that. So very interesting today. Thank you all for listening today. This has been a fun 3 hours here on The Score. And big thank yous to our guests today. We had Mark Potash at 9:20. If you want to go back and check out our conversations on the Odyssey app, 10 o'clock, talk Bears as well with Josh Schrock. Great conversation with Spiegel from Mesa, Arizona, talking Cubs, which he will provide play-by-play for at 2:55 today. That was at 11 o'clock. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to Tyler Farengol for doing a great job of producing this here show. And thank you to all for listening. I appreciate you. I will talk to you tomorrow right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.